2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. This is the reading of God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. We pray that your spirit will work in us so that we may understand your word, so that we may believe, and not just believe, but that we may obey your word. Oh Father, you have told us that it is by hearing of your word that our faith will grow. We pray that you will cause our faith to grow, and through your word that we will grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time, we looked at these verses. Verses actually 4 through 7. And we looked at in detail what Paul was saying to us. And before we go to verse 8, I thought that it would be beneficial for all of us to look at this union with Christ. What does that mean? Here we are learning that God comforts Paul in all of his afflictions. So Paul, now with the comfort with which he himself is comforted by God, comforts those who are in any affliction. Paul's affliction is for their comfort and salvation. The comfort that Paul receives from God is for their comfort also. Thus they too will patiently endure the same sufferings which Paul suffers. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. All are suffering together, but all are also participating together in receiving comfort from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And here it is very clear that all Christians are united to one another. Whether you feel, you feel that or not, that is the fact. All Christians are united to one another. So even if you are suffering, that suffering is for other people's comfort. Because you will be comforted by God, and by that you will be able to comfort others. One member is hurt, then all hurt. This is what the Bible teaches us about the reality of our salvation. This is the eternal reality of our salvation. The Christian life is not accomplishing this unity, but it is witnessing this unity that is already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why first you must believe. You must believe this unity. God is not telling us to accomplish this unity. God is telling us He has already accomplished this unity. Our job is to witness that through the life of the church. So, we must believe the reality of this unity among all Christians. All Christians are united to one another because all Christians are united to Jesus Christ. You are united to Jesus Christ and I am united to Jesus Christ. Thus, we are united in and through Jesus Christ. Whether you like it or not, you are stuck with me forever. If I'm Christian and you're Christian, that is the case. But we are happy that this is the case. This is what our Lord has accomplished for us. So today, I'm going to talk about this union with Christ. Because I believe that this concept is very, very important. So before we go on to next verse, verse 8 next time, let us take a little bit of time to understand this union with Christ. The Bible describes this, our union with Christ and our union with one another in many ways. The Bible gives us many pictures so that we may understand this union. Well, first, let us go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave Jesus Christ as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the first picture that we see concerning this union is this, that he is the head and we are the body. I mean, you know, whenever you look yourself in the mirror, that is what we're talking about. Head and the body. The second picture that God gives, go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So here, another picture. He is the vine and we are the branches. So you see the picture. Here's a tree and we are the branches. And if a branch is broken off from the tree, then it's useless. You dry it up and it will be, according to the Bible, burned by fire. But there's that vital union. Jesus Christ is the vine. And we are the branches. Ephesians chapter 2. Another picture God gives. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Same picture is seen in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me just read that to you. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 and 5. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also are living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here the picture is a building. Jesus is the cornerstone and we are the living stones which are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. One more picture, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Now, it is talking about husband and wife and their union, but using that, Paul is describing the union between Christ and the church. So we have these pictures. First, it was Jesus' head, we are his body, and Jesus being the vine and we are his branches, and Jesus being the cornerstone and we are living stones made fitted together to form a building. And here, another picture is that husband and wife union. Just as the husband and the wife joined to become one flesh, Jesus and we are joined to become one spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." This union with our Lord Jesus Christ is a living union. It is established by the Holy Spirit through faith. Jesus is in us and we are in him. I don't know how to picture that, but to show you how intimate relationship we have with Christ. But understand that this union is not visible to this world to see right now. In fact, when you actually look at the church, you see otherwise. What union? Some worldly organizations out there, they have better union than the church. You see so many people in the church fight and they hate one another. What union? That's why you must believe. Whether you see it or not with your physical eyes, Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus has accomplished this union already. Yes, it is our sin not showing to the whole world that union that Jesus has, you know, accomplished for us. Yes, we're not doing a good job at it. But nevertheless, this union exists. This is the reality. And you must believe. And this is where you must start. God is not telling you to accomplish this union. He has already accomplished it. Our purpose is to witness it. Now, but just like so many sinners out there, we go by sight, not by faith. But true Christians, we go by faith, not by sight. You must believe. You must believe that we are united to one another. This is the fact, now and forever. And you must show that in your life. Even this sinful world knows visible and physical union, but whatever the union, it is not true eternal union in Jesus Christ. True union is only in Jesus Christ. Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus. Thus, all he has done and all he has accomplished, we are able to claim as our own in Jesus Christ. His life is our life. And this is very important. We say Jesus died for us, and that is true. And Jesus died instead of us, that is also true. Jesus died in our places, that is also true. But we must be able to say further. We must be able to say, I died with him. I died with him. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. When I just turned, you know, became Christian about, I don't know, about 30 years ago, this kind of verse gave me so much problem. Paul says, Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says he died with Christ on the cross. And I was thinking, wait a minute, where was Paul when Jesus died on the cross? I don't know where, Bible doesn't tell us, but it's very clear that he was not there when Jesus dies on the cross. And yet he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I couldn't understand what he was saying. Either he's lying, and at the time I thought, wait, you know, what's going on? Or Paul knows something or believes something that enables him to say this. That even though it was Jesus who died on the cross, Paul says, I died with him. And this is what union with Christ is all about. That not only we are able to say that he died for me, but I died with him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive, and notice that word, together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, the word with, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says what? That you and I, we have been raised up from the dead with Christ. Not only that, it says that you and I are sitting where? in heavenly places with Christ. And where is Jesus Christ seated? In heavenly places, the right hand of God. So where are you seated if you are sitting with Christ? You sit at the right hand of God. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is what is true of us in Christ even now. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, let me just read that to you. Having been buried with him, now here we are even buried with him, in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. So this is what Paul is doing. He's looking at Jesus Christ. He sees Jesus dies on the cross, and Paul says, I die with him. He sees Jesus buried, and he says, I have been buried with him. He sees Jesus resurrected from the dead. He says, I have been resurrected with him. He sees him ascending into heaven. He says, I am ascending into heaven with him. He sees Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of God, and Paul says, I am sitting with him in heavenly places. Now, what makes Paul able to say this? Because he understands this union with Christ. That when Christ did whatever he did it as your representative. He did those things in union with you. So whatever he did, you are able to claim as yours. I have done it. Even though you never did. But you believe that Jesus did all those things in your place as your representative. And this is what Christianity is all about. Whatever we say about Christians, whatever we say about Christian life, we must say them in terms of our union with Christ. Otherwise, whatever we say will be false. You cannot look at yourself apart from Christ anymore. Because if you are a Christian, you are united to Christ now and forever. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you never just see yourself, even though you don't see it, see him with your physical eyes. He is in you. He lives in you. He's always with you. So young Kim, apart from Christ, doesn't exist. There's no such person. Young Kim, apart from Christ, when you are talking about me. We cannot say anything that pertains to Christianity apart from Jesus Christ and what he has done and accomplished for us. We are royal priesthood of God because Jesus is the true king and the true priest. We are participating in his kingship and his priesthood. We are prophets of God because Jesus Christ is the true prophet. Some of us are elders, deacons, and pastors because Jesus is the true elder, and he is the true deacon, and he is the true pastor. All of my eternal salvation realities, all my eternal heavenly realities are all true because of our union with Christ. You and I are now invited to participate in his glorious life. We have died with him We have been buried with Him. We have been resurrected with Him. We have been ascended with Him. And we have been seated with Him in the heavenly places. Whatever is true of Him in His humanity, it is true of us who are in Christ. Whatever you could say about Jesus Christ, other than Him being God, you could claim as your own. Just like Paul, when you see him resurrecting from the dead, you say, oh, I have been resurrected with him. You see him living the perfect life without sin. You say, I lived a perfect life without sin with him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is so important. If you're not able to say this, truly believe this, then you do not have the confidence that the Bible is speaking of. Because in any way, if you are not united with Christ, then you're doomed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Just as He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Do you see it? Even God's election of us and His predestinating us to be His sons is in Christ and by and through Christ. Do you see it? We are God's sons because Jesus is the true Son of God. And if He is Son of God, we are sons of God. Now, of course, we're not God. Other than that, whatever you could say of Christ, you could say of yourself. This is the joy that we have. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. God forgiving our sins is also in Christ. All is in Christ, through Christ, because of Christ, and for Christ. And this is the Christianity. If you take out Christ, then there is no Christianity. All the things that He did and the life that He lived as a man, we are able to claim as our own. We did all that with Him, even though we didn't do anything. But if that is not true, then we don't have salvation. Because whatever you did, even a 1 second of your life, whatever you did that is not united to Christ, then with that, you have sinned and you have to go to hell. He lived that perfect life. And we have lived and we are living the perfect life in Christ. I mean, if this doesn't bring joy to you, I don't know what will. You know, how can you go home and sleep with, you know, your, I'm so comfortably, when you just you know, all day long you've been sinning. You did not live a life that is, you know, glorifying to God. Every single day, you, before you go to sleep and you think about how you lived that day, how can you go to sleep? Well, because we know that in Christ, we did live the perfect life. That's how God sees us in Jesus Christ. This is why Christianity it sounds so ridiculous to the people who do not believe. They don't like it because it's all about Christ. Sinful people, for them, it's all about themselves. See, even if they want to say that God blesses me, they want to say it's because what I did, God blessed me as a reward. I'm worthy of that blessing. I did something that is worthy of that blessing. This is what sinful people want to say. But true Christianity is all about Christ. You didn't do anything. Only thing that you did is sinning. That's all you did. But we have Jesus Christ, who lived that perfect life for us. His perfect repentance for our sins, His perfect praise of God, His perfect worship, His perfect life are our perfect repentance, our perfect praise, our perfect worship, and our perfect life. God accepts us as such in Jesus Christ. God receives us because He has received Jesus Christ and everything that He has done for us. See, even this worship, I mean, just look at you. If I'm God, I'll be sending all of you to hell. What kind of worship is this? Some people just, you know, fall asleep. They're thinking something else. I mean, if you really see God receiving your worship, I don't think you'll be like sitting in your chair. You'll be so terrified. Yeah, so rude when you come to God and worship. And yet, if you worship with faith in Jesus Christ, even this worship God receives as the perfect worship. But when you understand that, it doesn't give you license to be more rude. But because your thankfulness, you'll do your best in giving everything you have. That's what separates true Christian who understands the true gospel from fake ones who just come because of whatever reason they come. That's why, you know, we're not begging people to come to worship. We're not begging people to come to our church. We come here to worship, and if they want to worship with us, that's we're happy. But if it is not about worshiping God, understand that no matter how, you know, how you try, you will never worship God perfectly. And no matter how much you give yourself in worship, it will never be worthy for God to receive that worship. And yet in Jesus Christ, you are able to glorify God even through this worship. Jesus Christ has made that possible. He accomplished it for us. There is nothing we are able to say if we are saying about anything about Christianity apart from Christ. Jesus and us, we cannot be separated anymore. And you cannot be thought of, spoken of, apart from Christ anymore. All our hope and all our certainty and all our joy come from Jesus, our union with Jesus Christ. We are united to Jesus Christ, thus we are united to one another. We are one body of Jesus Christ, just as a husband and a wife joined to become one body. We are in Christ, joined as one body. I hope you really realize this. I mean, when you think of husband and wife, they're joined to become one body. I mean, you understand, I don't know, nowadays, you know, sex became something dirty because people, you know, do that. All the other, you know, relationship that God does not allow. So it became something dirty. But actually, sex is not dirty. It's a beautiful thing between husband and wife. It symbolizes the union between God and His church. If you do it only within the relationship that God approves, it is a beautiful thing. And when you truly understand that union with husband and wife, you realize how intimate that union is. So that God says they join together to become one body, one flesh. And that is the same description that God uses to describe us. We are together, one body. Do you understand what we're saying? How intimate we are in Christ, even though you might feel it or you don't want to feel it. If you're truly Christian, we are that intimate. No, see, you're so defiled by this sinfulness of the world when we even mention this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. But this is how the Bible describes the intimacy in this union. Thus, when I am hurt, all of you are hurt. Really? Yes, really. Problem is that you don't feel it because you don't believe. But the fact is, if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, if I'm hurt, then you are also hurt. It's your sinfulness that just hinders you from realizing it, from believing it. Bible clearly teaches, if one member hurt, then all, the whole body hurt. When you are hurt, then I'm hurt also. And we must believe this union, even though you might not feel it. This is what the Bible teaches, and you must believe it. And once you believe, then you will feel it. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul's suffering. And even as he suffers, he receives the comfort. But by him receiving comfort, he's able to comfort others. The sufferer becomes comforter in Jesus Christ. What happens to me matters to you. What happens to you matters to me. This is what Jesus has accomplished for us. And we must believe it and we must witness it. Don't live a life, don't act like that this is not true. That Jesus did not accomplish this. That you are not united to this body. That would be tragic if you live life like that. So my sufferings and comforts are for you, and your sufferings and comforts are for me. We are in it together. If it is the true Christianity, then we are in it together. And as you mature in your Christian life, you must witness this more and more, because this is what Christ has accomplished for us. I cannot be separated from Christ, and this means that I cannot be separated from you who are in Christ. You cannot be separated from me. We must do everything, say everything, even think everything in terms of this union with Christ and union with one another, because this is our reality. John chapter 17, this is where Jesus prays. And when he prays to the Father, he says in verse 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. How are you going to show to the whole world that Jesus came and accomplished our salvation? According to Jesus' own prayer, how are we to show to the whole world that we are, in fact, people of God? That you show them that we are indeed one. And believe me, brothers and sisters, when Jesus prays, it comes true. It is already our reality. Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 7 and 8. Now, as you know, Paul was writing this, Philippians, in a prison. He's bound. And he says, for it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you hear what Paul is saying? The fact that he is in prison, he says, in my imprisonment, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, who is going out there and preaching the gospel is Paul. And yet, Paul says, all of you are partners with me in this. So Paul is saying, even as he preaches, they are preaching with him. Even as he is in prison, it's like they are in prison with him. He understands His union with Christ, whatever Christ has done, it's like I have done it. But he takes it further. Whatever I do, it's like all of my brothers and sisters are with me in doing it. Do you have this realization as you live your life? When you go to school, go to work, whoa, brothers and sisters are with me. Or whatever Jesus has accomplished, it just doesn't matter to you. Yeah. God is my witness, Paul says, how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus, with the heart of Christ Jesus. Paul even says he has the heart of Christ. And with that heart of Christ, he loves his brothers and sisters. How about you? Do you have the heart of Christ? You're looking at yourself and saying, no, I don't have it. You don't? Well, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Or you could even translate it as we have the heart of Christ. So, fact is that if you are a Christian, you do have heart of Christ. Either you don't believe it, or you don't want to show that, that's your sin. But if you are Christian, the fact is that you have the heart of Christ. And with that heart of Christ, you must love our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We are one. This is what the Bible teaches us. And this is where whatever Paul is saying from verse 4 through 7, this is where it's coming from. So that he says, my suffering is for your comfort. My comfort is for your comfort. Whatever happens to me, it matters to you. Whatever happens to you matters to me. This is what he is talking about. We are united, and you must believe it. And do not live your life as if you're not united to Jesus' body. Christianity is not an individual religion. It's not just me and my God. That is false Christianity. There is no such thing as me and my God Christianity. It's Jesus and his body. That's the description that God gives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us live our lives witnessing that we do have the mind of Christ. Let us witness that we are indeed united to Christ and to one another in him. Yeah, so that you may be even able to say, when you suffer, you give thanks to God because your suffering will ultimately bring comfort to my brothers and my sisters. Thus, like Paul, you even welcome suffering because it will bring comfort to your brothers and sisters. And all this is true because of what Jesus has done, what he has accomplished. And we are here to worship that Savior who are united to us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, we thank you how you have made us one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us believe it and let us show to the whole world that we are indeed one body as we live our lives as a member of that body. Through the life of Christ and Heaven OPC, by your grace, let us be able to show to the whole world that we are united to your Son, Jesus Christ, and thus we are united to one another. Bless us that we may glorify you through this. We thank you and we pray that you will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.